Next on BYUSN, it's early national signing day for Cougar football as Kalani Sitake and his staff welcome in a new class of Cougars. We'll break down the 2025 signing class player by player. And we'll be joined by head coach Kalani Sitake to talk about this year's class, plus his thoughts on how BYU and the Big 12 is perceived by the College Football Playoff Committee, and what Hall of Fame is he headed to already? Cougar football moves up a spot in this week's rankings. Where should they be, and who shouldn't be ranked ahead of the Cougars, in our opinion? And men's hoops stumbles on the road at Providence. Do we have any long-term concerns about that performance? Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Wednesday, December 4th. I am Jerem Jordan. What a show we have for you today as we talk about the playoff ranking reaction, football signing day, Kalani Sitake in studio, reaction to men's hoops loss at Providence, as mentioned. But let's give you the hard-hitting news. The new Pop-Tart flavor is out for the Pop-Tarts Bowl, which BYU might go to. Nicole Auerbach weighing in. The flavor returning from the vault for the Pop-Tarts Bowl is the Frosted Cinnamon Roll, which joins Frosted Hot Fudge Sundae and Frosted Wild Berry as three mascots this year. Game MVP will pick which edible mascot or flavor to eat. If the Pop-Tarts Bowl didn't give you what you felt like you needed, I don't know what else you want. Three edible options for a mascot to eat after a bowl game? I don't know. Is BYU headed to the Pop-Tarts or perhaps the Alamo Bowl? It certainly feels like that, given that those were the two bowl reps I at least saw in the press box Saturday night against Houston for Cougar football. So we'll see what happens. But with that in mind, all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
The talent level at BYU is the best it's ever been. And now that talent needs to gel as a team.
BYU, I think, has had a season that, while disappointing in some ways, I think should be seen as one of the best performances that we've ever seen out of BYU.
All right, BYU moves up a spot from 19 to 18 in the College Football Playoff rankings last night. What do we make of this? I personally looked at three teams that I felt like BYU should be ranked ahead of at this point. Like we talked about, BYU was not going to be in. They were not even going to be on the bubble. They were going to be off the bubble. I thought they should be on the bubble. So here are the three teams that I think BYU should be ahead of: Miami, Iowa State, and Clemson. Miami, BYU has the same record, a stronger strength of schedule. In fact, BYU, like Miami, has lost two of the last three. But Miami, no top 25 wins. BYU has a top 10 win and better strength of schedule by 11 spots. I guess the power of Cam Ward is worth six spots. Also, the offense for Miami is number one in efficiency, so I understand that part. But if you look at, like, the whole body of work and resume, I'm confused by that one. Iowa State as well. I know Iowa State wins a tiebreaker, but that has nothing to do with why they should be ranked higher than BYU, in my opinion. 68 strength of schedule compared to BYU's 44. No wins against the top 25. No top 10 wins either. And then Clemson has three losses and a lesser strength of schedule by nine, also coming off a loss. Also, this thought, if BYU was 11-1 as an independent this year, let's say that Big 12 never happened, BYU played a couple of good games, right, and lost one but won the rest, they'd probably be in the field last night. I thought that being in the Big 12 would help BYU in a situation like this, but the entire league of the Big 12 has been sort of decimated by the parity, whereas the SEC is sort of rewarded for it. Yet, I acknowledge and understand that in men's basketball, BYU benefits from what the SEC and the Big Ten also benefit from in football, because in men's basketball, BYU's net is going to be awesome because they play this crazy awesome strength of schedule. So, in summary, I feel like BYU should have been probably three spots higher, 15, but out. They weren't going to be in, as Spencer now joins me. But also, I thought the influence of the Big 12 would be greater, that, hey, a two-loss BYU in a power conference would be better than, say, an 11-1 independent. I think if BYU was independent and 11-1, they would have been in the field last night.
It depends on the strength of schedule and who they had played, for sure. But I think that
Boise State and Indiana, I look at them and go, ah!
As long as you play a super high-quality team, even if you lose, if you're competitive with that really quality team, and then you just beat the crap out of the rest of your schedule, then you can be like Boise State and Indiana.
Indiana did one of those two things. They played the one team. They weren't competitive. So even if they weren't competitive, just because you're in the Big Ten.
Because of that power conference. Well, what I'm saying is, as an independent, because you don't have the fallback of a conference like the Big Ten, you have to beat everybody and be competitive in that one loss. A la Boise State, a team that's not in a Power Four conference. That is the formula.
They played Oregon tough. Got lucky that Oregon was the team that they played, by the way. Because what if they had played Oregon State this year instead?
They did play Oregon State, too.
Well, I mean, like, that was the only
that
sort
of... That was the big game?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which Oregon State...
No, they benefited from that. No question.
I also thought BYU was in a Power 4 league. BYU's in the other two. There's the Power 2, and then there's the Big 12 and the ACC.
There's the middle ground, then there's the group of six.
There's clearly a divide. There has been... We probably need to come up with a different phrase than Power 4 because there's not a lot of power in that, unfortunately.
I had multiple people ask me last night, well, what's the best case scenario for BYU this weekend in conference championship games? And I said, well, one, there's no path for BYU to get in. It's not happening.
There's not.
But they said, okay, well, what about best ranking? It's like, honestly, you need to root for just massive blowouts. You should hope that Penn State gets absolutely demolished by Oregon.
Shock blowouts.
Yes.
Yes.
And maybe UNLV, if you're looking out for the Big 12, you're hoping that UNLV beats Boise State so that the Big 12 can have one of those byes and they're not relegated to that 12 seed and playing a road playoff game in the first round.
But also, that doesn't benefit BYU.
Chalk blowouts could get BYU to as high as maybe 16, 15 at best.
Okay,
if that makes you feel better, great. But there's not much BYU can do.
There's not a massive added.
You can pick who you're going to root for in the Big 12 championship, though. So I think I know how most BYU
fans feel in that regard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Men's Hoops loses 83-64 at Providence. Are there any long-term concerns from last night's loss?
No, it's way too early. I have spoken with you on several occasions. I've been screaming this from the rooftops. There are going to be some absolute duds from this team early in the season where we think, what happened? BYU is way too talented for that to happen. What's going on? When a team is so new and has so many new pieces, not just with players, but with the entirety of the staff and the support staff, and they're playing their first true road game. And frankly, we probably overlooked the fact that BYU had very little turnaround time after San Diego and then had to get on a plane and go to the East Coast and play in their first true road test as this team. I should have bought into that more.
Yeah.
We didn't know that Providence's best player was going to be back and in the roster
Hopkins,
in the lineup as well.
His 16
point a game score. So there are a number of things there, but it's way too early to freak out about BYU basketball. It's just way too early. So no long-term concerns. Now, if BYU loses to, like, I don't know, Wyoming, Florida Atlantic.
Fresno State next.
Florida A&M on December
20th. I was going to say FAU has been in the Final Four recently.
That's a decent game. No, it's way too early.
All right,
our question of the day. Jerem outlined very sound logic when it comes to the college football playoff rankings and why BYU fans are frustrated. Basketball laid an egg in Providence last night. It happens with new teams. But what was more surprising for you yesterday? Was it BYU's college football playoff ranking at number 18? I know a lot of you thought it would be at least 17. Or BYU basketball's performance as a team in that road contest at Providence. At PHNX Coug on X says, basketball. College football playoff ranking was expected to be depressing, but I was hoping the basketball team would cheer me up. They did not.
Yeah, that'd be my answer as men's basketball. I thought that BYU would win the game. So, yeah, it was disappointing to be down by a significant margin late in that game.
Nobody expected Yegor Demian to struggle the way that he did.
0-for-10 was shocking. Something was up with his knee, by the way. They put a sleeve on it in the second half.
He wasn't, clearly not feeling like himself, injury-related. And maybe the pressure of everything got to him. The NBA scouts and all the news of him jumping up draft pick boards.
But you have off nights. You just don't expect 0-for-10.
Sure.
Like a 2-for-10 or something, perhaps. But, yeah, he went to the free throw line, knocked down a bunch of free throws, but...
Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join that conversation.
BYU basketball with Kevin Young is tomorrow night, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app as he talks about the Providence game, looks ahead to Fresno State next week.
After the break, I got something to cheer you up. The brand new BYU football 2025 recruiting class as of December 4th. It's early National Signing Day. Details on the way after this. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation and our coverage now of early National Signing Day for BYU football. A loaded class in 2025, and it might be historic. More on that in just a moment, but let's begin with another legacy family Cougar. Welcome to BYU football, Austin Pay, offensive lineman out of Highland, Utah. Yes, He is the brother of Connor and Trevor as well, who is also on the team. Dad played at BYU, 6'7", 295. Jeremy, right now he's a three-star recruit, but he's got offers from everywhere. It feels like he should be a four-star guy, but because he committed to BYU, when he committed to BYU, he gets, I guess, demoted to a three-star. Regardless, this is a big-time get for BYU. Here is TJ Woods, his offensive line coach, on getting Austin Pay.
Austin Pay, Lone Peak High School. Tremendous football player, long, athletic, great pass protector, can do a lot of great things for us. Comes from a great family. Obviously, the legacy continues with the Pays at BYU. Austin turned down some big-time opportunities from a lot of great places because of how much BYU means to him and his family, and we're very appreciative.
That is a healthy mustache, by the way, on TJ Woods. Austin Pay is a mission-first guy, number five recruit in Utah, heavily recruited, as you mentioned, third Pay brother to play at BYU. The dad played at BYU as well. Big-time get to get Austin Pay.
Let's keep the vibes rolling with another big-time get, this time also on the offensive side, but a skill position player. Say hello to LaMason Waller III out of Hesperia, California, 6'1", 178, and he is a legit four-star recruit, according to Rivals.com. A lot of big-time college football programs interested in LaMason, but Fessy Satake did an incredible job recruiting this four-star skill player. Speaking of Fessy, here's what he thinks about LaMason Waller.
LaMason Waller III from Oak Hills High School, California, super special player. Had a really productive high school career. Missed the first half of the season his senior year, but when he came back, he was on fire. Just super fired up for what he brings to the table. Can play all positions. Is a huge playmaker. Can't wait to have him part of the Cougar family.
Number 30 overall player in the state of California.
Number 30, Spencer.
I know. Three-time Max Preps All-American. They compare him to Darius Lassiter, not just in his skill set, Jerem, but in his personality, how he handles the team. They look at him as a natural leader, good hands, good route runner. He is a January enrollee for BYU. He will be in spring ball, and they look at him as a guy who could be an immediate impact player.
Fills a need because Lassiter and Epps are out. Roberts perhaps is out. Great hands committed in the summer. You look at that list of guys that wanted him. Bama, Georgia, Oregon, Penn State. Come on, man. Huge get. Huge get to have LaMason here. Okay, next up, Nolan Keeney, athlete, Tualatin, Oregon, Tualatin High School. Luke Staley's high school, 6'5", 226, played quarterback in high school, three-star athlete, number 10 overall in the great state of Oregon. Unanimous first-team All-State, recruited by Oregon, Boise State, Houston, San Diego State, Utah State. Mission-first guy. Here's offensive coordinator and quarterback coach Aaron Roderick on Nolan Keeney.
Nolan Keeney from Tualatin High School. He's a super athlete, plays quarterback. He's a great basketball player, can do a lot of things. Runs really well, super athlete that could play a lot of different positions. We're super excited about him.
All right, let's stay with the offensive weapons. We go to Cale Breslin, a running back out of Faith Lutheran High School in Las Vegas, Nevada. He's not a mission guy. Will as well be in spring ball, so another mid-year enrollee. He's been committed to BYU for a while. Coaches specifically pointed out his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield well. They feel like he's versatile that way. Three-star guy, number 11 overall player in Nevada. He ran for 2,800-plus yards and 32 touchdowns in his high school career. Both parents, Air Force veterans. He's disciplined. We kept hearing that word, disciplined. Understandable when you have Air Force parents. Here is BYU running backs coach Harvey Unga on what Cale Breslin brings to BYU.
Cale Breslin, Faith Lutheran High School. Big back, definitely a change of back though. I think is very deceiving. Has a lot of speed, a lot of agility and quickness, but at the same time, he doesn't shy away from contact. Is a tough runner. But like I said, has the ability to break the big ones. Another guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield, is able to run routes really well, got soft hands, just definitely another great fit for the room and BYU. So excited for Cale.
When Harvey says tough, tough runner, I believe him.
Yeah, because Harvey was a tough, tough runner. Member of another faith, going to be here in January. Good hands, as you mentioned. Been committed for a while. So I'm excited to see Cale Breslin. How about that running back room for BYU?
It would appear,
right? You never know with the portal in the offseason, but you like LJ Martin, Sione Moen, Pokai Haunga coming back. Cale Breslin in that room. Give him a year to kind of get situated and get involved, but you like what you see on the highlights. Awesome. Okay, next up, Ta'ani Makasini. Linebacker from Tempview High School, Provo, Utah. This is Sonny Makasini, the BYU offensive lineman's brother, three-star, number 12 overall in the state of Utah, recruited by the likes of Tennessee, Utah, Cal, Washington State, Oregon State, Mission, first guy. He can really run.
Okay, let's go. Bring more three stars into the mix, Jerem. Listen.
And Tempview has been one of the greatest pipelines BYU's had from any high school, obviously in the backyard here. But loaded to have another Makasini at BYU.
Yes, I love that more legacy players are signing with BYU.
They know what BYU is about from their siblings.
Yeah.
From their uncles, from their dads. They know what it's about. Yeah, and you don't automatically get those guys. You have to recruit them just as hard as anybody else.
I'm sure what BYU has been doing recently has helped. No,
I would think so.
No doubt about it.
And this class has a chance to be the highest composite score class in BYU history at 24/7 Sports. Depends if they get all the guys they want. They're feeling pretty good.
Yeah, the trajectory of BYU over the last 5 years has been notable. Again, we'll get to those details in a bit after we finish introducing you to all of these individuals who are now members of the BYU football family. We turn our attention now to Kalepi Finau on the defensive line out of Alameda High School, Oakland, California. He is a identical twin, Jerem. We'll get to his brother in just a minute. Three-star recruit, according to 24/7 Sports. Now, Kalepi, he's been committed for a while. Had to work on his brother a little bit to get him to flip to BYU, but Jerem has those details on the way. He's considered one of the steals in this class, according to the BYU football staff. Not LDS, but comes from a very religious family, so obviously not a mission involved here. BYU was a big draw for this family.
It's called to serve on the field.
BYU was a big draw for this family because of their religious backdrop. He is raw, but has quote-unquote tremendous upside. They will be able to ask him to do any number of things. You could see him on either side of the football, Jerem. They feel like he's that raw, but right now he's built like a defensive lineman. He will be here in May.
Sio Siwa is his twin brother that was committed to Stanford. He is coming in on the offensive line, tackle type 6'6", 295. The twin brother, three-star, number 76 overall in California. Look at who recruited him. Stanford, Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA, Utah, Arizona State, Arizona, Cal, Baylor. They will both be here in May ahead of fall camp. I'm excited to see the Finau twins.
Yes, identical
in
twins.
Cougar blue. That's going to be awesome. These guys are ballers.
Now, CSCO played both offensive and defensive tackle. Once again, just like his brother. We heard they're built exactly the same. Like, they're identical, of course, but, like, they have the same exact frame, everything, so.
You remember the commercial in the 90s? And twins! Here come the Finaus. Let's go.
All right. We move on now to Saleh Fano, also on the defensive line, out of nearby Westlake High School in Saratoga Springs, Utah.
I know someone who lives in Saratoga.
6'4", 225 pounds. He is the cousin of former BYU commits Spencer and Logan Fano. So, yes, family ties there in the rivalry. Three-star recruit. 15 tackles for loss, 9 sacks as a senior. Saleh Fano, solid is the word that I got the most when speaking with the staff about Saleh and what he's going to bring to Cougar football.
Mission first, big upside, growth potential, long body type, versatile. You're seeing that kind of that body type is what BYU's going for, where it's like, are you an outside backer? Are you a defensive end? Could you even move inside to a defensive tackle type? They're getting different guys at that level. But yeah, Saleh, athletic like his cousin. It's going to be fun to watch him at BYU as well.
All right.
Mission.
Okay.
Ulavai Fetuli, defensive line from La'ie, Hawaii, played in Southern California in high school at La Abre. 6'4", 245, three-star defensive end, number 67 overall player in California. 8 sacks, 3 picks, 6 touchdowns, 18 tackles for loss as a senior playing D-end and tight end. He's going to be here in May. He blew up in the summer camps, and BYU gets Ulavai Fetuli.
Good basketball player, we're told. And they love, BYU loves the basketball players. Okay, especially at those bigger defensive line positions. They like the footwork that comes with being a basketball player and how it translates over to the football field. He, too, was listed as a guy who could compete for playing time right away. So,
And let's be honest, BYU played a lot of freshmen this year, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You think about Trey Alexander, Jonathan Kabea, Faletau Satuala, Tommy Prassis, among others. It was and that's on a top 25 defensive efficiency team too. It's not like BYU went 5-7. They were
number
just
one
playing.
Scoring defense in the conference.
Right? BYU come to BYU, you got a chance to play right away.
All right. Tyler Payne is hoping that
Payne, you say?
Yes. Tyler Payne. Yes, his dad is the BYU Hall of Famer and the legendary Matt Payne.
And Matt knew how to tackle, and you all know it, and so does Boise State.
Out of Weber High School in Pleasant View, Utah, 6'1", 220. He's got
Here's Matt highlights. Yes! Yes!
There's Matt! Yeah, well, guess what?
Tyler
is built like he's built like his dad.
Yes, he is.
6'1", 220 pounds, legit three-star recruit, and he can do it all, okay? Right now, he's planning on enrolling in his freshman year at BYU. Could play this year. We'll see about admission in the future. But
yeah, January.
He's going to be with BYU for spring football. Yep. Here is Justin Enna on Tyler Payne.
Tyler Payne, Weber High School, again, comes from a great genetic family. His dad was a punter for us. He's in the Hall of Fame. What I love about Tyler is he's tough. He's gritty. He's athletic. He's looking for any challenge possible to be the very best. He's a football junkie through and through, and he likes to bring the pain himself. So here we go.
I love it. Bring the pain. 174 tackles in 2024. That is a 6A single season state record. 174
what?
Tackles.
Probably played like 10-ish games, so he's like 17 a game. Throwback inside the box backer. So in BYU's defense, a middle linebacker type. Excited for this guy. Can move well. Obviously not afraid of contact. Has that contact courage. Excited for Tyler Payne.
And he's built like his dad. And we always said, Matt should play linebacker for BYU. Well, his son does play linebacker.
Ryan Rico. BYU had this history of, tall punters, which we'll get to later.
Yes. Yeah.
Kingston Kiana Aina, running back, St. Francis High School in Union City, California, 6'205". Three-star recruit, number 119 overall in California. How about in high school running for 2,300 yards, 23 touchdowns as a senior? Tough dude with physical balance. Also played rugby, which I love. Fly half and center with your physical decision-making and tackling positions. Also recruited by Arizona, Washington, Washington State, Stanford, Army, Navy, Air Force. Mission first running back.
What's BYU football if they don't have a California tight end, Jerem? Because they just
they're losing Reiner Swanson, so they gotta have someone else. Reiner Swanson going to Africa on his mission.
So Reiner's gonna take a break and go on his mission trip, and that opens up the opportunity for Blake Bryce, another California tight end from Newberry Park High School out of Camarillo, California, 6'5", 235 pounds, three-star recruit. Jerem, he is a mission-first guy, so technically BYU won't get him. He'll be in the field with Reiner Swanson. He also played defensive end, interestingly enough. His team, by the way, Blake's team, we believe beat Dennis Pitta and John Beck's team in the playoffs this year in California.
Mm. So it rubs them the wrong way. But look at the list that recruited him. LSU, Florida State, Bama, Miami, Auburn, TCU, Tennessee, Arizona, Arizona State, Washington, Utah, and USC. Hey!
6'5", 235. And you can run like that, you're going to have a long
suitors.
Recruiting list of suitors. No question. Here's Kevin Kilbride on his new tight end, Blake Bryce.
Blake Bryce from Newberry Park High School in California, just won CIF. Father played here at BYU at the tight end position. Comes from a great family, very successful in both inline run blocking and also pass catching down the field. Can be dynamic for us.
Dynamite, dynamic. Can't wait to watch him play for BYU. This is always an interesting case when you have a mission first guy. So we're super excited. It's like, all right, we'll see you in 2028.
We'll see you in a minute. We'll see you in a minute. Jackson Doman up next, speaking of tight ends, out of Canby, Oregon. I hang out in Canby every now and then. My wife's grandpa lives there. Canby Union High School, 6'6", 220. His Uncle Sam played football at BYU in Oregon. state wrestling champion in the 215 weight class in Oregon, recruited by Washington, Washington State, Oregon State, Nevada, Colorado State. Mission first kid, another Doman at BYU. That just feels right.
Yes, there are Kafusis and there are Domans.
There are Pays, there are
yes,
many, many legacy awesome names. It's great.
Okay, we turn our attention now to Tucker Kelleher, another tight end, but this one from Alpharetta High School in Georgia. 6'6", 225 pounds. He was noticed in BYU camps, not an LDS kid, visited Provo in the summer. They call him the good old school blocking tight end.
Yeah,
just
in
tough
line.
Nosed, ready to go to work and block. I'm trying to remember the pancake night. 12 pancakes as a tight end in his senior year of high school
that's
football.
That's pretty good. Like, you would like that for an offensive lineman. Northeast Atlanta playing good football there in Georgia, of course. Heavily recruited. Georgia Tech, South Carolina, Michigan, Michigan State, Arkansas, Army, Boston College, NC State. Played lacrosse. So got some versatility, got some toughness. I like that. And he's one of those guys that stepped into the tight end room where you lose the Jackson Bowers to the portal. You got some good young tight ends you're excited about, Anthony Olsen and others, Ethan Erickson, and so on and so forth. So never been concerned about tight ends at BYU, by the way. Never, ever. Backers, tight ends, never been concerned.
There is some room in that area for BYU, no question.
Yeah.
Like it's a pretty empty room, but it's filling up now with some new recruits.
They got some good young players.
And
excited.
He is a January enrollee, is Tucker.
Good point. Okay, Andrew Williams, offensive line, Kirkville, Missouri. 6'8", 277, three-star number 11 player in Missouri, recruited by Kansas State, Iowa State, Arkansas, Wisconsin, Minnesota, member of the church, will be here in January. And he went on a couple of trips to Kansas and Kansas State and Iowa State and got some offers and then came to BYU. And BYU's like, we really want this kid. And those teams know how to recruit O-line. BYU does as well.
TJ Wood's doing some work right now. And listen, I know it's early, but the 2026 class on the offensive line is looking pretty good, too. We can't talk about those names, but things that are lining up look really good.
That's another position I've never been worried about at BYU.
O-line. Offensive line,
they
tight ends.
Really well. Those mountain region guys, as Brady Papinga once said to us.
Back to the defensive line, we go with Vincent Tautua out of St. Louis High School in Honolulu, Hawaii. Linebacker last year, but he grew so much that they moved him into a defensive line position. Humble and grateful was how he was explained to us. He's another early enrollee. He'll be here in January. So BYU, 6'3", 253-star prospect. He was the number 18 player out of the entire state of Hawaii. Understandably, very excited to add some depth to Sione Puha's position group.
Yep, member of another faith. Was a backer, as you mentioned. Great twitch. Excited to see him in spring ball coming up in a couple of months. Okay, next up, Kendall Wall, defensive line, Mountain Ridge High School, Harriman, Utah. 6'5", 215, three-star, number 16 overall in Utah. 13 TFLs, 8 sacks, 6 blocked field goals as a senior. That's a huge number.
How do you do that?
Recruited by Washington State and San Jose State, member of another faith, so he'll be here. Good frame, versatile, could grow even more, which is really exciting.
On to the special teams, dual threat kicker, punter, Will Walker. 6'5", 210 pounds. He has the Rico build. He has the Ryan Rico build, and he can do both for BYU. 6-star punter, Jerem. I didn't know that was a thing.
Is he the greatest player in BYU history now? It's a 6-star? What
apparently
just happened?
They do different ratings for
also,
punters
why is there
and
an
kickers?
Angel at this football game?
He is a mission first guy, so it'll be a while before BYU fans see Will Walker on the field. But he's
kickers and Will. Just that's who
that's
BYU
the thing,
recruits.
Right? Hey.
Great kickers named Will. Are you a great kicker named Will? You got a chance to come to Brigham.
Or is it Bill? Big game Bill. Right?
Yeah.
Big game Bill.
That's awesome. Okay, so we talked about how this had a chance to be one of the best recruiting classes BYU's ever had.
Yes.
Let's take a look at the numbers so far. 18 signees, a couple more potentially expected. You got 2 4-stars. BYU hoping there's one more on the way. 16 3-stars. Highest composite score average by 24/7 Sports in program history. We're talking, what is it, the last 10, kind of 20 years? Of composites here. Right now it's an 86.25 is the average composite score for BYU's signing class per player. That's amazing. BYU continues to recruit at a better level than they were.
I think the headline there is BYU's composite recruiting score is up 4 points in a five-year span. That is a massive uptick.
And BYU's been winning, right, 10-plus wins in, what, three of the last five?
10 in 2021.
20, 21,
yep.
24.
Yep.
Pretty good.
There you go. Up 4 points.
Pretty good.
From the 82s to the 86s in that composite.
Kind of like your Q score with our audience.
Oh.
Up 4 points.
It was from much lower than that, though.
I know it's down 4 points with a certain fan base.
Oh, BYU always looking for the right guys. They're looking for the right fit to develop that talent. And this year's team was a case in point of that. You find the right people, you get the right coaching, right development, and you can have some really good things happen. All right, that wraps up the recruiting class for now. Obviously, if anything else breaks, we'll let you know. After the break, we need to take mention of some notable Big 12 honors that came about yesterday for BYU volleyball, notably. And in addition, a key one to the BYU football staff. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's get in a few quick headlines before we welcome the head coach, Kalani Sitake.
It's early national signing day for Cougar football as Kalani Sitake signed 18 players, including 2 4-stars. Highest rated recruiting class program history. Cougars certainly hoping for another couple of guys, but so far, so great.
BYU football checks in at number 18 in the latest college football playoff rankings. It's Cougars they are the third highest ranked Big 12 team behind number 15 Arizona State, which is just bonkers. They're only number 15, and number 16 Iowa State.
BYU football head coach Kalani Sitake announced the hiring of Dave George as general manager of the BYU football program. This is a new position. George will specialize in roster optimization, strategic partnerships, revenue share distribution. Get ready for that. Facilitating NIL and brand building opportunities for Cougar football players.
I hear great things about Dave and what he's going to do organizationally for BYU. BYU head coach Kalani Sitake, some great news, will be inducted into the Polynesian Football Hall of Fame.
Okay.
In January of next year. Sitake, the first FBS head coach of Tongan ancestry.
That's awesome. Men's basketball lost 83-64 to Providence last night in the Big 12 Big East battle. BYU shot a season low 33% from the field, trailed it in half for the first time all year. Providence shot 59% from the field. BYU now 6-2 on the season. They play Fresno State in a week.
And 4 BYU women's volleyball players received Big 12 honors yesterday, beginning with Claire Little and Brielle Kemivore, both earning all Big 12 first team honors. Alex Bauer and Ellie Mortensen named to the Big 12 all rookie team. They're playing some of their best ball right now. Get to the Sweet 16, baby. After the break, BYU's head football coach Kalani Sitake in studio to discuss his signing class and what has him most excited about the new recruits. We'll ask about that playoff ranking as well. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Hall of Famer.
You just gotta say it. Build the foundation and it will not fail. You guys are the foundation.
Excited about the team and excited about the opportunities.
Just really proud of the boys getting the win too.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play alongside Jerem Jordan. I'm Spencer Linton. As promised, time to welcome in the head coach of BYU football to discuss his newest signing class, Kalani Sitake.
The Hall of Famer.
Welcome to Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer. Hey, that's pretty cool, man.
Let's start there. Where were you when you found out, and how does it feel to be inducted into that class?
I was at home trying to keep my two-year-old happy, you know. what a huge honor for me and my family. And also for the team, you know, it's a good sign that good things are happening and you know, that my time here has been something that people recognize. So it's good for the program. I mean, I don't mind it, you know, I still can't believe it, but that's a good sign for us.
Growing up in Laie, you don't think, hey, I'm going to be in the Polynesian Hall of Fame. I don't even know if it existed when you were little. Like, it's kind of a newer thing, which is cool.
No, but I mean, just to reflect on my life and the mentors that I've had and people that have been in my life. And, I know that I'm the result of a lot of other people's hard work and prayers and sacrifices. So, it's something that I don't take for granted. And I'm trying to make as many people proud as I can. And that's it's a huge honor, though, for me to go in the same year that Moana 2 comes out. It's a huge honor for them. Yeah, but to be recognized, from my heritage and to be connected in that, the game of football with our Polynesian players. It's a lot of fun.
Well, sincere congratulations once again, and congratulations on compiling what we believe will be, as far as a composite score goes, the highest rated BYU football recruiting class ever. We'll see. I mean, there are some, still some numbers to work out, but it feels like it's pacing that direction. So just as a general overview, how do you feel about this year's signees?
Well, I feel great about the group, especially because they just fit who we are as a program, and I think the talent, I mean, the rankings, I don't know about the rankings, but I know that these young men, they come from wonderful families, and they fit exactly what the mission of our program is and the mission of the school. They will appreciate BYU. They'll honor their time here, and so really looking forward to seeing them grow and become the adults that their parents want them to be, and really proud that we get to be a part of that. So this is going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really excited. This is a good group of young men that just happen to play really good football too.
I want to ask you about a couple individuals. Austin Pei was a massive get, obviously a local guy at Lone Peak, Connor and Trevor's brother. But you had to work hard to get one of the best O-linemen in the West and
yeah,
in the country.
And you know, huge credit to A-Rod and to TJ and the rest of the guys on the offensive staff. But I don't think our recruiting department gets enough credit for what they do too. And just everyone that's involved, it was highlighting BYU. You look at, you know, just the stuff that's out there on social media about our program and our team. It's definitely a team effort from everybody, and I think that it we need to come at a different angle with Austin, because you know he's had two older brothers that have kind of chosen to come here, and I think he had a lot more offers than the time with NIL and the rev share has changed it a little bit, but I can say I appreciate him being focused on what's more important than just money. It's just the opportunities and he just like the rest of this class are a perfect fit with the right focus, and they can understand and appreciate the opportunities that are here for them.
Connor's never been one to mince words, and he straight up said, "Oh, Austin's the best. He's better than I am, and he'll be better than I ever was."
Yeah,
so I mean, that's quite a compliment.
Well, I mean, he's going to go on a mission first, so we have to hurry and wait, you know. But the cool thing is that we know he's capable, and he's got tons of talent. And we just love having it's like when you see these brothers that come through and play here and the family members that play, it just makes sense to have a pay on O-line.
All right, let's talk about LeMason Waller III. Fessy Satake, we were told, did an incredible job finding him early, getting BYU onto his radar, and then just consistently recruited him until this four-star receiver ends up at BYU. So when I say LeMason Waller III, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
A playmaker. Like this guy is a definite... he's a definite force. He's going to be on the field early for us. And you look at the offers that he's had. I mean, he committed early, too. And he knew what he wanted. And a lot of people came in hard at him, you know, especially the last couple of weeks. And you just can just see that there's a lot of people that want to come here for the right reasons. He's one of them. And then the fact that he sought us out, too. I mean, Fessy's done a great job recruiting him. But you can see that he just fits. Everything that he does on the football field fits with us, and everything that he's about off the football field, it fits, and he's going to have a great career here at BYU.
How about the Finau twins, Kalepi and then Siosiwa, decommits from Stanford to come here. It's going to be fun to have these guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to have the brothers here, and they're really big, you know, and so they can play a lot of different positions. I know one's a tackle and the other one's a defensive end, so
they could match up against each other in practice.
Yeah,
is that
yeah.
What you're saying?
We'll probably just have to do that to them just a little bit. But no, these young men are such wonderful people, and you get to know them. They're not members of the church, but they're attracted to the school because of our faith and because our commitment to Jesus Christ, and it's nice to see them, you know, kind of see what we're all about and know that they can thrive here spiritually as well as physically and academically. So these guys are, they're getting it done. They're going to be a big part of what we want to get accomplished here. And they happen to be monsters, you know, literally they're big, big boys. And I think they can do some really good things.
Are you ready to mix them up because they're identical twins and they have the same frame?
We'll just have to make one have a different hairstyle so everybody can tell the difference. But no, if there's twins that look like that, I'll take them all. The great kids like that. I mean, the whole class, I wish I could talk about all of these guys, you know, because they're very similar, but just great people from great families. And they're going to be a huge addition to our program, not just on the field, but definitely in the locker room and off the field.
You mentioned revenue sharing. That's coming. There's not a lot of details about sort of how that's going to be governed, but you've hired a general manager. What kind of role did RevShare have in kind of recruiting, given what you know or don't know? And will you comment on your new general manager here?
Yeah, I mean, Dave George is a great I think he fits perfectly. Just it can't be me. I can't be in charge of the RevShare, you know. So I need someone that has that mindset. And the fact that he has a background in law helps, too. So when you're dealing with contracts and things like that, he knows how to broker some deals, but also more importantly, his vision is in alignment with how we are as a football program and as a church. And so the encouragement for that he's going to get to our players, because there's going to be a crazy amount of money that's going to be coming to these young men, is to handle the finances responsibly, and let's put them into investment funds. Let's get them thinking about their future rather than trying to cash out now. We want them to plan for the future. That's what our church is about anyways, is planning for the future. So I don't think it's going to be a huge like drop of cash to these young men. It's going to be plan for the future. Let's look at how we can make the money work for you and how we can actually, you know, honor it the right way. And a lot of that is by not spending it right away. So I think we're going to encourage them to do that. And not a lot of recruits want to be told that. And that's probably why they don't fit here.
What was the conversation with recruits regarding revenue sharing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's more of what Dave's going to be able to focus on, is that they talk about what's actually out there, the market, because I think a lot of it is not true. So he'll get to the reality of it all, the numbers and what's fair. And then also, how do we want to handle the funds, and where do we want to put this, and how do we want, and so it's about budgeting too. And so I think a lot of recruits don't want to be told how to budget, but that's part of our job is that we are in. We're here in education, so we got to educate these young men on how to budget their money, how to use it, and how to spend it. But I'm old school, so I believe that there's a revenue share will give us a great opportunity for the guys to have a more secure future, right? But it also allows them to live better than they normally would, than I did for sure in college. But I think there's some things in college that you're supposed to know anyways, and one of them is probably the dollar menu on every fast food restaurant, and how to make mac and cheese and ramen and all that stuff.
Yep.
But I mean, I don't think that these guys have to live like, being super tight on the budget, but they already get a lot of stuff handed to them. I want them to just be responsible in life and know that, you even though there's a lot of money there, that you make the money work for you and you don't work only for the money.
Kalani Sitake, BYU football head coach, is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Let's go back to what we were talking about when we welcomed you in, and that is just the general direction of your recruiting and where BYU football is headed. Clearly, success on the field matters, and it's a symbiotic relationship. You win games, you become more attractive to players. BYU has had 3 10-win seasons in the last 4 years.
Five
years, okay, it's 2020, 2021, and now obviously this year. How has that impacted and changed the recruiting for BYU over the course of that success?
I think if you go back to the beginning, when I got the job, I challenged Tom to get us the most difficult schedules he can and line them up with as many Power 5 conference teams.
Which I was a big fan of,
Yeah, and but I to me, well, I know, but my thing is we're trying to get the program to where we need to, where we can sustain it.
To get P4 ready.
Yeah. Yep.
And so my thought wasn't really about the records or even my own record as a head coach. It was like, let's get this program set up so that when there's an opportunity to do some conference realignment, that we're not just going to be happy to be welcome to the party, that we can actually, dance a couple of dances and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and enjoy the party a little bit, being in the Big 12. And so as we worked towards that, we needed that to happen. And I think people can sit there and they can question a little bit about 2020 schedule, but that's what we had to do in COVID. But we won a lot of games in the next year too, and so so I think everyone's going to give us excuses on how we got those wins. I like to hear what they say this year about their excuses, and so we'll see. As long as we keep making it hard for people to keep giving us excuses on why we won a lot of games, then we're in a good spot. But the program is built on the culture and everything connected to the gospel. I mean, it works in football, it works in life, it works in business. We are just adapting it to football. And so a lot of that comes with some love and some guarantees of of taking care of them, but it also comes with trust and responsibility and accountability. So everything that we are doing as a program is going to produce success. That's just how it works. But it doesn't mean it's going to be easy or that's going to go perfectly all the time. But when it does go smoothly and does go the way we want it to, then we need to be responsible with and be humble enough to keep learning and keep getting better. The goal is to keep progressing as we go along. And I'm really proud of the team this year. You know, maybe I was a little disappointed. I seemed a little disappointed after the game because I knew that these guys wanted to get to the playoffs and possibly win the national championship. And had we said that in public, you know, 6-7 months ago, I think a lot of people would have been like, what are they doing? But we're not here to really prove people wrong. We're here to prove ourselves right. And we're in a good, really good spot. I think with this class that we're bringing in and with what we have with our staff and the commitment that we have from the school and the support of the best fan base in the country, I think we can do some really, really positive and cool things.
Yeah, people are excited about the future. Certainly, you'll find out what bowl game you're going to no later than Sunday. You're ranked 18 in the college football playoff ranking. How have you internalized the last couple of days since Saturday's game of like, okay, where we are right now and what we can do to finish this season with perhaps 11 wins?
Yeah, I think the it's hard not knowing where what bowl you're going to go to and hearing people give their opinions on whatever it is. It doesn't matter. We get to have one more game with these guys, and I think we're gonna have to get some work done still. We practiced yesterday. That was a good practice, and but we got to still keep building the culture and keep building this relationship that we have as a team. You can see that there's a sense of urgency because we know this is the last one, and I look forward to the competition. I think it's going to be really, really positive for our program and help us take the next step into 2025. This senior class has done a great job in leading us. I think they've become one of the legendary ones, being able to win a lot of games. But we want to be able to set the table for the next class. Last year's senior class did a great job setting it up for this team. And so we're hoping we can get to take advantage of that, especially with the 15 extra practices that we get.
Your good friend Chris Klieman, Kansas State head coach, he recently said in a press conference, talking about how to strengthen the Big 12 conferences as a whole, to get multiple teams into the playoff. He felt like maybe a necessary step would be to go from 9 conference games to 8 and only play 8 like the SEC is playing and, quote-unquote, lighten the schedule in non-conference. How do you feel about the prospect of that, given the frustrations of being right there but ultimately outside of the college football playoff?
Well, I mean, I think from our perspective, everybody wants to be in the tournament, you know, but it's better than it was before. And if we can keep adapting and keep making it better every year, I think that'll be good. I'm with Chris. I think we have a tough conference, and it's hard to when you're beating each other up and then not to get the respect at the end of it. But you have two ways to do something about it: either just make it better and perform better, or you kind of change it up. I honestly like what basketball does. Right now we're seeing ACC versus SEC and the Big 12 versus the Big East.
Big East, mm-hmm. Yep.
So like, let's do that. Let's get. So if we go to 8 games, let's challenge the other power conferences and match up and play, and if you get 8 games, then you can play 3 against the other 3 conferences and play an FCS game or a G5 game, and then I think whoever wins the conference and whoever plays for the conference championship, I think it leaves no doubt that. How else to do it than just play each other? Let's do that. Like, we have an opportunity to make that happen, so let's do it, right? Or make the conference, make the playoffs 24.
Just expand it some more.
Let's go even
more. Do it now. Get it done by the time we hit, a couple weeks.
BYU's in, baby.
Yeah, do it now. We're in.
Kalani, congratulations on a great recruiting class and a fantastic season. Obviously, looking forward to the bowl game as well. We appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thanks,
appreciate
buddy.
You guys. Thank you. Go Cougs.
All right. After the break, we'll put a recap bow on this National Signing Day show. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. What was the more surprising result yesterday? BYU football's college football playoff ranking at number 18, or BYU basketball's performance against Providence? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from Dallin W. BYU on X, who says, I can't say I'm surprised by either. The committee has a pattern of disrespecting BYU, and Kevin Young just coached his 8th game in college basketball, so trip-ups are inevitable.
Yeah, I guess I just didn't expect a 19-point loss, I guess.
You just didn't expect BYU to shoot the ball that poorly.
Right.
But, hey, It happens. Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
All 18 so far in this recruiting class. Welcome to BYU. Can't wait to see you guys. Some of you in January, some of you in May, some of you after your mission.
Let's go. Our thanks to today's guest, the head coach of BYU football, Kalani Sitake.
All right, Dennis, no time.
For Jeremiah Spencer, shout out to Ty Detmer. See you tomorrow back here in Studio B.